Okay. Good evening. We are now here in Muncie, New York, enjoying peace and quiet, when our brothers and sisters are suffering tremendously in Eretz Israel, hundreds of rockets every day, very scary. 2 weeks ago, 10 days ago, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent us a message here with this, the biggest storm in the history of New York that affected this time the Jews tremendously. Usually all the storms in America, since I remember myself, hardly ever touch the Jews, hardly ever. This one, it seems that it was mainly for the Jews. I saw today a 5 minutes film about what happened in Seagate. I just got the shock of my life, what happened over there. You see hundreds of gemarot in a pile, Mishnah Brura, Chumashim, and a garbage. You see so many avrechim that lost their homes. So many people out of power. I just went to LA for a week. I just heard that some people didn't have power until a few days ago, which means more than 10 days. In Eretz Israel now, if you remember, if you watch my lectures on the website, about 3-4 weeks ago, basically I said that this is what about to happen. Unfortunately, it started. Not that I'm a Navi or Ben Navi or has any Chas V'Shalom pretending to have any Ruach HaKodesh. It's very obvious. You don't need to be a genius to know it. I'm sure most of you already felt it coming. Ishmael is preparing these horrible tragedies for us for years. It's not something that started a week ago. You don't need to be a genius to know that when your enemies are sending missiles every day in Lebanon, from Iran, from the ocean, in tunnels, they're not doing it for their weddings. They're doing it for us. It was just a matter of time. All this time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending us a message, but we seem to be sleeping. Noach, in the time of Noach, people live very long life. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them 120 years of warning. 120 years, they see the missiles are coming, the missiles are coming. Obviously, Noach is building the ark. The message is spreading. People are living normally. No one is panicking. Even when the missiles started in the time of Noach, which means the rain started to fall, they're still acting as usual. Only in the last minute, even Noach, the tzaddik of the door, wasn't sure that it's real. Hashem told him, you see that the water is coming already to a point that is, that's it. Still didn't have full emunah that that's what's going to happen. This is the human nature. You see the situation gets worse and worse and worse. Ah, it will be better. Hashem never left us. Hashem is rachum v'chanun. People like to have sismaot. You know, sismaot means all kinds of... It's like a robot. You click on a button and relax his conscience. What do you mean? You don't learn from history? Where were you in the last 3,300 years? Do you know any other nation who got more smacks than us? Do you know a nation that had 1 month of rest? Like we never had a month of rest in history, never. No matter where we live, we never have 1 month of rest. Kadosh Baruch Hu is punching and punching and punching and no one is waking up. And now, the missiles started to fall in Tel Aviv. One missile fell in Tel Aviv today, one in Chulon, one in Rishon LeZion. That's it. It's like Manhattan, Brooklyn. It's already the heart of the country. What difference does it make? What, the Jews of Sderot or Ashdod are different than the Jews in Tel Aviv? No. The Jews of Tel Aviv has more power. When they get hurt, they have the urge to do something more tremendous. All the liberal Jews that are giving their life to protect the Arabs and give them rights, as long as the other Jews in the south, the poor ones, that don't have so much money, They don't control the politics. They get the rockets on their head. We'll continue to fight for the Arabs. Now, when the missiles falling on our heads, okay, well, now we have to do something. So that's the only difference. This dirty politics. But it's not only by them. It's by us the same thing. When the storm happened here, I actually saw people in Eretz Israel laughing at America. Laughing, mamash laughing. Like some of the speakers. Like, ha ha, very good. Let Hashem show them a message. Doesn't think that his brothers and sisters, thousands of them are homeless and they lost everything they have. Happy, Hashem smack them, teach them a lesson. 2 weeks later, it comes to them now. How many people are sitting and crying here? How many people cancel their parties here? How many people cannot focus at work? That their cousins or parents or who knows what are bummed now. So the situation now is that it's going to be a massive war now. Now the 30,000 reserve soldiers are being moved into Gaza. But you know, the Arabs are not dumb as they used to be 30 years ago. Those days are over. 30 years ago, when I was a kid, the reputation was very clear. The Arabs have no brain. Today you cannot say it. They learn, they are more educated, they have more money than before. They have a world network of terrorism. Every city in the world, they have possession over there. And it's constantly moving, they make tunnels under us. Still, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu is punching harder now than a month ago, a little bit harder, still there's tons of miracles every minute. People don't get the miracles. Why? If they shot already more than 500 missiles in the last 2-3 days, technically in every other city in the world, if it will fall in Paris or New York, how many casualties you have? You have already 500 people dead and another 5,000, you know, wounded. 500 missiles in such a small place, one missile hit 3 people today. And technically, of course, everything is min ha-shamayim. If these people would listen to the instructions, they would not get hurt. They were standing by the terrace. They told them, go to the shelter. I can already imagine what went through their head. We are Orthodox people. You know? So 3 Chabadnikim, 2 male and 1 female, got killed. Direct missile. But if they go to the shelter, it wouldn't happen to them. Person cannot play with fire. A person has to run away from a place of danger, even if he's Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai with his zchuyot. Why? Because even if Hashem saves you, he takes away from your zchuyot. So what's the point? One way or the other you lose. You either lose your life, you lose your health, or you lose your zchuyot, your merits. You cannot win. So run away. No. Where is the emunah? What do you mean there's no emunah? The Torah teaches you, place of danger, you have to run away from there. Why didn't Hashem say mitzvah in tarayag mitzvot? Place of danger, mitzvah to be there. Just 2 weeks ago, people criticized me that I spoke about reconsidering moving to Eretz Israel. Many Americans that moved to Eretz Israel sending me hard emails. How can you speak Lashon Hara about Eretz Israel? These people don't understand that everything I speak is halacha. I don't speak about my personal feelings. I really, really hope that all the Jews would live in Eretz HaKodesh, will have Bet HaMikdash, and will have wonderful days. We have to tell the people what the halacha is. If a person comes and asks you for an advice, he lives okay here, he has Shalom Bayit, his children go to good yeshiva, he's learning, he has chevruta, he has parnasa, he has health, everything works for him, as far as Yiddishkeit. And now he wants to take a risk, put everything aside and go to, and move to Eretz HaKodesh, just because it's mitzvah of Yeshuv Eretz Israel, which is machloket if it applies in our days. It's machloket. You know, some say yes, some say no. When there's no Bet HaMikdash, may not apply. I said a Jew has to live in a place that he's going to be the closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's much more important than mitzvah Yeshuv Eretz Israel. If a person will live in Eretz Israel and be Rasha, what's better? He'll be over there and do Chas V'Shalom, be far away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Or he would live here, but will be very close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and would reach a very high level in spirituality. Plus, what I just said, it's a place of sakana. I saw a big gadol one time, was in New York 6 months, when in the time when Saddam Hussein shot his missiles. They asked him, what are you doing here so long? He was in Borough Park. He had an apartment there. They say Eretz Yisrael is makom sakana. It's the first time I realized that this concept exists. And even, you know, it's Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. You walk in Eretz Yisrael, every step is a mitzvah. It's pikuach nefesh. Pikuach nefesh doche Shabbat. It's needless to say, doche to be in Eretz Yisrael. What's the point here? There are three different kedushot. I made a whole lecture about it. The kedusha of Shabbos, the kedusha tachayim, and the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. Most people, when you ask, what's the most important kedusha, depend. If you ask those who give their life to live in Eretz Yisrael, like many American Jews and the settlers, they'll tell you that's the highest kedusha. It comes before life, it comes before Shabbos, it comes the Israeli army, fight for the land, we give our life. It doesn't matter what happened. We're not going to learn Torah. As long as we protect the land and we show them that we live in one way or the other, that's the most important mitzvah. That's not, the Gdolim doesn't say like this. Pikuach nefesh comes before that. Now, which kedusha comes first, Shabbos or kedusha tachayim? Everyone say, pikuach nefesh doche Shabbat. So from here we learn that the kedusha of the life is higher than the kedusha of Shabbat. Because when there's a contradiction between life and Shabbat, life comes first, Shabbat is on hold. It's wrong, also not true. Why? Because the Gemara says clearly, Chalel alav Shabbat achat, kedei shishbor Shabbatot arbe. The only reason you're allowed to be mechalel Shabbos to save life right now, because he's going to keep many other Shabbatot. So 300 Shabbos against one, 300 wins. The Kedusha of the Shabbos is the highest Kedusha. It's the covenant between us and Hashem. It comes before everything. There is, hypothetically speaking, there is a scenario in Chazal, and appears in all the Sfarim, I don't see anyone who contradicts it, that if a person is a total Rasha, he did everything, but he's Shomer Shabbat ki ilchata mochalim lo kol avonotav. It's hard to believe. He does so many averos, but he's makpid in Shmirat Shabbat 100%. Why? From here we can understand that if you put all the mitzvot in one side and Shabbos on the other side, Shabbos is at least 51%. Otherwise, there's no way to explain this Gemara, how it could be machriya, all these other averot. I don't know. Maybe you have another idea how to explain this Gemara. But right now, we are now in a situation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu show us what's written in Parashat Bechukotai. What does it say in Parashat Bechukotai? Ve'ne'saftem el arechem. And the enemies among you. It's not speaking an enemy from far away. In Parashat Bechukotai, it doesn't speak about Iran. It speaks about the enemy who live in the land. Who are they? These Arabs who live in the land. Not also the rest of the Middle East. They are not such a big threat to us right now. The ones who live inside, 1.5 million Arabs who have Israeli citizens, and they live inside Israel, and they cooperate with them 100% from the day they got their citizenship. Nothing ever changed. They use the rights that we give them to help the enemies to occupy the land. Only some foolish liberal Jews had a dream that you can train the wolf to be a friend with a chicken. Such stupidity. Where these people came from? I don't understand. Do they have a head? You don't see that their entire ideology from day one, from the minute they come to the world, is they teach them how to hate the Jews and destroy them? And there's nothing else important for them? Nothing. If you ask them what's better, that you're going to leave all of you according to the Quran, you'll destroy the entire nation of Israel. You won't leave one Jew in the world. They give up the Quran, they put it in the toilet, just for the moment that they can erase the nation of Israel from the face of the earth. And you try to make some pieces with them? So what's the point here? Also, when you look at the entire political situation, it's also foolish to think that we have a problem with the Ishmael or the Arabs. We don't really have a problem with them. This is all an illusion. We like to get angry at them. We like to blame them. We're happy that we destroy one of the generals like today or yesterday. But it's really foolish. Because the Zohar and the Chazal and the Torah is very obvious about it. Kshi'Yisrael lemala, Ishmael lemata. Kshi'Yisrael lemata, Ishmael lemala. That's it. Ishmael, what is it like? The battle between us and them, it's so obvious according to the Torah. It's hard to understand why we even care about what they do. We have to focus on ourselves. What is it like? You take the best basketball team, the best in NBA, whatever. They win every year the championship, whatever. And then you have a team from high school. They hardly know how to shoot. They hardly know how to play. Now you put the best team in the world against this team. What will be the odds that the other team will win? Do you know any gambler in the world that will put a penny on them? No one. No one would even... no. There will not be a bet because it's so obvious the difference between those two teams. Now, if the other team, if the great team will decide to rest on the court, not to play, they're tired. They just stand, they talk. One of them takes his cell phone, he speaks. And then the other team will win. So all the people will go crazy against the other team. It's stupid. The other team is not a factor here. It's only that team. If they do the right thing, the other team doesn't exist. If they don't do whatever they have to do, then anyone will win. The Arabs is not a factor. The Arabs is just a stick in the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Should eliminate them completely from the picture. If it wouldn't be them, it would be bears and lions. It would be the Romans, it would be the Greeks, it would be who knows who. Well, what difference does it make how you name the enemy? It's very foolish. We don't have peace with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with Avinu Shebashamayim. Every one of us has an individual problem between him and his father. And all of us as a group has a serious problem. One of the reasons, in my poor, humble opinion, is that there's no unity. And every time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu strike us, right away creates unity. Like today when I told you about the film that I saw, Yossi Green was speaking there. And he says, such unity, said in the video, if you saw the video, you know what I'm talking about. Such unity, Hasidish, Miknagdim, Litvish, Sfaradim, all Amcha Israel came from all over, from New York, Baltimore. They show volunteers coming with their vans, with cars, everyone with no differences, all Jews, like real brothers. One gives his heart for the other. The heart, everyone gives their heart for the cause of helping these miserable people who lost their homes. The question that I ask, it's beautiful, very nice. We're very touching. But isn't it an obligation every day, all the time, even when there's no tragedies? Only the tragedies have to make us united? Just when the tragedy is over, right away, everyone goes back to his group and that's it? Chazal say, Chasida. Why the name of the Chasida is Chasida, the bird that stands on one feet? Why? Because it does chesed. Chasid, chesed, chasidim. Where did chasidut come from? From the word chesed. Chasid, chasid, chasida. It's very good, no? So why it's not a kosher bird? If it's a, most of the birds are the ones who get attacked, not the one who attacks. In Judaism, if you pay attention, we only eat the ones who are weak and surrender. We don't eat lions. We don't eat any attackers. We eat the cow, the sheep, even by the birds. We don't eat the eagle and all these cruel birds. We only, Hashem told us, here, put your head down, learn from who you eat. This is a message for us. So only same thing here. Why the Hasidah is not kosher? It's not an attacker. It's das chesed. Because it does chesed only with his own kind. Chesed like this is worthless. And we all the same. That means we are not kosher. We're not, in the eyes of Hashem, we're not kosher. If you do only kosher with someone that comes from your own community or from your own kind or from your own nation, whatever you want to call it, or your own group, then it's worthless in the eyes of Hashem. Why? Because you said this Jew worth more than the other Jew, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot stand it because the father that has 10 sons, he loves all of them. If you tell him, I love this son, but I hate the other one, why? Because this one has this kind of hair or the other one, the father would look at you and say, what are you, normal? This is all my children. I'll give my life for each one of them equally. And the Torah brings you the story of Yaakov Avinu that he made a kutonet for Yosef, showing a little bit extra love. And what tragedy came to the world from it? That there was starvation, we have to go to Mitzrayim, 86 years of slavery, so much agony from one little act. This is the Gemara say from here that a person should never prefer one kid from the others. And we all have the same problems. Why? The nature of a person is that if he has, let's say, 7 kids, of course, not all of them are equal. Some are more into Yiddishkeit. Some are more talented. Some love to learn. Some not so much. Some are honest. Some are not so honest. Some are, you know, helping. Ba'alei chesed. Some are very lazy and egoistic. Yeah, everyone with his own problems. And naturally, the parents attracted to love more or to care more about the ones who are Baal Chesed and they never embarrass them on the street and they give them mamash good names, good reputation for the family, but they don't understand that we are not really the parents of these kids. The real parent is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's only one parent to all the people in the world. And we are only babysitter. You babysitter. Someone put four kids in you to watch them for 4 or 5 hours. You don't have permission to decide to take care of this boy more than the other or the girl more than the other girl. You are the babysitter. You are paid to raise them and to take care of them, whether they give you good time or hard time. The rest is not in our hand. And everyone asks, how come so many holy peoples and rabbis in this generation have so many bad kids off the derech? What's going on here? The answer is it has to be like this. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai spoke about it in his Nevuah 2,000 years ago. He said, oy lim omar, oy lim lo omar. Oy if I say, oy if I'm not going to say. What's going to happen in a generation before Mashiach comes in the world? I don't want to live in that generation. Why? HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes all the garbage souls from all the generations, which means all of us is in this category, and he reincarnates them right before Mashiach comes. I know it's not nice to hear, but the truth hurts. All the leftover from all the generation, he gives them one last chance before Mashiach comes. Now, I always say, where will HaKadosh Baruch Hu reincarnate these souls? Where? In Dizengoff, in Shenkin, on the beach in Elat, in Honolulu, in Zimbabwe? Where will he send these neshamot? He has to spread them. Babysitters, he needs loyal babysitters. He's not going to put in a babysitter that is a drug addict and doesn't remember his name in the morning. He has to put them by a responsible babysitter. So by this rabbi, by that, he sent two to this rabbi, one to this Orthodox family. And this Orthodox family, instead of saying, thank you, Hashem, for giving me the opportunity, maybe we save this neshama, non-stop complaints. Non-stop. Why? Because it's all about the ego. What people gonna say about us? Don't say to them, please keep it between us. Everyone is worried what people would say. Because no one has a munah that regardless what the people say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. When it comes to shiduchim and this, everyone is worried. That's why in our communities, I heard stories like this. Without saying names, doesn't matter. You probably already knows what I'm talking about. What did I hear? A father said to his son, okay, you're off the derech, you're not doing this, you're not doing that, not Shomer Shabbos, whatever you are. I'll give you $300 every month to spend in one condition. What? That you wear white shirt, jacket, and a black hat when you walk in the streets of Muncie. Of course, the boy thinking, I hate this custom. You know, I'm going to be every day of my life, it's like Purim. But for $300 or $500, do I have a choice? Do I have another source of income? I'm 16, where will I find this kind of money? So let me do it. This father just murdered his kid forever. Maybe by a miracle he will return one day to Hashem. But he murdered him. Why he murdered him? Because he told him it's all a show. His heart is not burning that his son is Mechalel Shabbos. Instead of pulling his hair off, that his son is somewhere in Shabbos talking on the phone, who knows what he does, that's really not bothering him so much. What bothers him is what the neighbor's going to say, what the people from the shul will think about us. So what does it mean? That we all hypocrite, all baloney, it's all... That's why it happens to us. Instead of saying to the boy, I'm going to give you $300 if you're going to keep Shabbos 100%. I don't care how you dress. So let people spit at me in the shul. They say that I have a son. Yitzchak is Esav. The Torah didn't say that Yitzchak was embarrassed in Esav. The opposite. He liked him very much. He had a great relationship with his son Esav. Because what? Yitzchak didn't have who to impress. Maybe it was a different kind of life that day. Maybe people dress differently. Maybe people judge you differently. You know, maybe it was a different world. I don't know. But one thing for sure is that we show the kids what we really care about is ourselves. It's not only by us. It's everywhere. You go to other communities, secular community. Every parent, every wealthy parent pushes children to college to be doctors and lawyers. Almost everyone, same thing. You're going to be a doctor. No, I want to be a musician. No, what musician? Musician doesn't bring me any honor, any respect. Be a doctor, we'll brag to our friends. Our son is a doctor. Our son is a lawyer. It's all a show. The life of your kids is not your life. You're only the babysitter. And this is what's happening now. Now, according to Nevuot, I just made a recent lecture. You can see it on the website. The situation is critical and we're all sleeping. We live in some kind of illusion. Another three died, chas v'shalom, tomorrow another few. So if something massive will happen, 3-4 hours, everyone will be upset, and then they move on with their life, business as usual, shipping as usual, transportation as usual, music as usual in a car. You know, when the Jews came from the Holocaust, the survivors, one time someone told me that next to the Statue of Liberty by the port over there, there's hundreds of pairs of tefillin under the water. Hundreds of pairs of tefillin. By the way, I got very curious, how hundreds of pairs of tefillin arrive next to the Statue of Liberty? I was very curious. So he said that when the survivors came, and I don't have to tell you how they look after the war, so those who had tefillin, not everyone had, those who survived, the tefillin survived, and they brought them, when they were standing in line to get to the port, the family was standing there and screaming, and talking, you know, from about 100 yards away. So they say to them, Moishi, Yitzchak, Avrom, I wish you would come a week ago. We just married our daughter in a Plaza Hotel. We just had a bar mitzvah in a whatever, all these fancy hotels here in Manhattan. It was such a beautiful day. They're screaming to them. They're talking. It took hours until they came off. So these miserable Jews who came from the hall, they heard this. They went crazy. They said, wow. We just came out of the gas chambers. Everything of our life was destroyed. And they had in a Plaza Hotel a celebration. $500 a person, beautiful, tuxedo, everything as usual, smoking their cigars while we are burning. You understand what happened? So they took their tefillin and they threw it to the water. I never understood why the most common reaction of a person when religious people hurt him, that he takes it against Hashem. That's a common reaction. I don't know what the logic behind it. Just because a religious person stole all your money, is that a reason to turn against religion? Against Hashem? Hashem said not to do it. He did not listen to Hashem. Now you punished Hashem? What is it like? A father said to his son, don't touch this boy. I'm warning you. If you touch him, I'll give you a big onesh. And the boy didn't listen to the father, and he went and hit him. So the boy that got hit, he now hates the father, and he doesn't want to listen to the father anymore. I'm done with you. The father said, why? I told him not to hit you. Did he take it against me? This is what happened to us, everyone. Today, especially in this generation, most of the kids who go off the derech is only one reason. Why? They want to get their parents back. They're not happy from the way they were strict with them or did certain things to them. So it's a matter of revenge. Even if it doesn't come from their conscience, it comes from the subconscious. They're not even aware of it sometimes. Sometimes you interview the kid, he will tell you, no, my parents were good with me. But if you hypnotize him, then you really get the truth. You get it out of his subconscious, how much he ate religion because of the parents, because of forcing him to do certain things. Now you may ask me, but it was like this for 3,000 years. It's a mitzvah from the Torah to be strict. One hand is pulling towards you, one hand is stricter. It's always been like this. The Chachamim, the Gdolei Chachamim said that you have to be strict with them, sometimes even to hit. So what are we doing different than what the Rambam say to do? Or when Chazal say to do? The answer is, everything they say to do was good until 50 years ago. This is now a different time in history. Ikvata de Meshicha. Look what the Gemara says it's going to be with people. Every person will have extra amount of chutzpah. You cannot go with strict hands with the chutzpah, with azpanim. When everyone is azepanim, they'll commit suicide for the revenge. They commit suicide for anger, for destroying their ego. It's not 50 years ago you look at your son and you say, yes, Abba, you don't have to say a word. It was very, very rare. Violence against kids, to give them a smile, it was very rare. Very, very rare. Today, it doesn't help anyway. So what's the point? It's in Hebrew, there is a say, Rosh Bakir, head to the wall. You see, you cannot penetrate the wall with your head. Why you keep banging? You're all bleeding. It doesn't work. Change the strategy. Be more friendly. Show that it's unconditional love. And then right away, everything changes. Right away, from embarrassment, he begins to do things because he feels horrible to do it to embarrass you. It changed. Everything changed. It's all personal relationship. This is it. So, speaking about the situation right now, there is an important thing. It's called Noseh Ba'ol Im Chavero. We are here. Can we join the army? No. Why? Few reasons. Some of us are against the army because of the ideology. In the religious world, there's different ideologies. So many of the ultra-Orthodox people, no matter where they live, when you speak to them about the Israeli armies, they have a lot of bad things to say. I'm not saying that some of the things they say, they're not right. But after all, when you live in Eretz Israel and there are situations like this almost every week, who you depend on to save you? Those soldiers. They come and they risk their life to save you. A little bit gratitude. You know what's the gratitude? Sit and be quiet. Don't talk. Don't praise them. Don't change your ideology. I'm not coming to tell people how to change 30, 40 years of their ideology. But the question is, you're not afraid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? HaKadosh Baruch Hu say the Egyptians can convert. The Nazis and the Egyptians were more or less the same. They took living babies and put them in a wall to die. So it's the same thing. Nazis, Egyptians, same idea. And Hashem said, third generation can convert. Why? I had a place to sleep. A place to sleep is much less than a person who runs and gives his life 3 years to save you, that you can walk in Yerushalayim or in Bnei Brak, supposedly with security. It could be a Rasha. It can be anything you say. It can be Kochi Ve'Otzem Yadi. Nobody argued this. One thing is, you are safer now, you go to sleep. Of course, even with their help now, we're not safe. But I'm saying overall, in general, you are much safer because they stand, they check, they guard, security, everywhere you go, these people, whether they like it or not, it's not the issue. These people, you owe them gratitude. So what's the minimum? Don't talk. Why talking against someone who risks his life to save you? Even your biggest enemy, Lu Yetzuyar, if it will come clear to you, that somehow he saved your life, your biggest enemy, out of gratitude, you will stop writing against him in the newspaper. No, that's the minimum you can do. The minimum. Rav Moshe Feinstein, there used to be an article, weekly article or monthly article, or the entire article was designed to criticize his psakim. He's lenient, he's not a posek, a lot of harsh thing against him. And they used to send him a personal copy to his address in Lower East Side. And then after 3 months, they had the nerve to ask him why he's not paying for the article. So he called them up, and he said to them, I never ordered this article. He didn't say a word about you destroying me, you killing my reputation, you motzi shemra. He didn't say a word about this. He just wanted to care about the mamones. So he said, I don't remember that I ever ordered this from you. I never told you to send it to me. He said, sir, I don't know. I'm only working here. It says that your payment is 3 months. It's past due already. So he said to them, okay, I'm going to send you the check for the 3 months, but please from now on don't send it anymore. He didn't say a word why the entire thing is against me. Why this? Why? Who you want me to pay? Aratzachta vegam yarashta? Not only are you destroying me, you want me to pay for it? This is like Titus. Titus that had the mosquito in his brain was driving him crazy. He hired 5 people to bang with the hammers. You know the story. They're banging and banging. So the mosquito got scared. He didn't know what's going on. So for a few days, he was silent. So he said, finally I can rest. The banging did not bother him like the whistle of the mosquito inside his head. One of them was a Jew. So when they all came to get paid, he paid the goyim, and he said to him, you have the nerve to ask for money? Not only are you sitting here all day and enjoying my suffering, you want to get paid for it? What did the Jew? The Jew worked. He had to get paid. But the idea is, you're enjoying the situation, you want to get paid for it? You're enjoying destroying my reputation, you want to get paid for it? He didn't say a word. He sent them the money. So his shamash told him, Rabbi, there's no mitzvah in the Torah. Excuse me, to be a fool, to let people take advantage on you. This is a reshut. So he told them, I was mekabel on myself, to leave this world in a situation that not one person will have something to say against me. Doesn't matter who is right. that even those who have reasons to speak about, that they will not have anything to say against me when I leave the world. So why should I leave the world and they're going to call me a ganav? Let me pay them and that's it. No. So the situation right now, it's something that's called nose ba'olim chavero. What does it mean, nose ba'olim chavero? To join the army, we can't. Most of us are not even citizens in Israel. And then even if we were, we have families here, our life is in a different place. It's not so simple. But we all know that the army always had half enough. Elef lamate, elef lamate. The ones who go to fight and the one who has to sit and read Tehillim and pray and learn Torah for the Hatzlachatam. Mizmorim, Tehillim. Lema'et be'ana'a. It's time that the Gemara say when there's ra'av ba'olam, even the Gemara even say not to bring children to the world. But where is your emunah? Tinok ba ve'lachmo be'yado. The baby comes, his parnasa comes with him. But it's an epidemic. There's ra'av ba'olam. It's time to adjust yourself to the situation. So if you think the situation is going to get better in a week or two, we are dreaming. I'm telling you, don't be naive. Yeah, maybe a ceasefire, another month or two, and then again. Every round will be worse than the one until we're going to get to the prophecies of the Nevi'im. The Nevi'im didn't tell us Hollywood movies. Every word of them was what Hashem wanted us to know before the Acharit Hayamim. One of the nevuot, atidim Ishmael lishlot ba'aretz tisha chodashim. The Arabs will control the land 9 months before the arrival of the Mashiach. What do you think? It's a joke? You know what it means to be in their hand 9 months of these horrible murderers, the cruelest people in history? You know what it means to be in their hands? Don't you see what they do to their own people in Syria, in other places? Now, there's not one agreement that we ever made with the Goyim that is standing. Not one agreement. All the agreements with Turkey all went to the garbage. Turkey is one of our biggest enemies right now. Everything against us in the United Nations, they start. They forgot that we were protecting them and give them a lot of secrets and army and maneuvers and training. All these things in 1 second, few of the liberal activists died. It was enough for them to dismiss 30 years of cooperation. That's why you see you cannot trust any one of them. Egypt, we gave them 2/3 of Israel. Did we ever get something from them? Nothing. They are the biggest enemy. Here today against us, and now they don't even care who is right, who is not. Automatically, they always hate us. Do you think they ever stop hating us? Do you think a Jew was able to walk in Egypt in a time supposedly when there was peace, when Mubarak was the president? It was a more than 50% chance to get killed. Let's see a Jew walks with a Star David or with a yarmulke in Cairo in the last 30 years. Impossible. So what do you need a peace for? What is the peace for? Peace is to become friends. If there's no way to become friends, just keep a ceasefire. Why to give? You give something, you want to get something in return. That's stupidity. When you don't follow the advice of the Torah, this is what happened. They believe in them. They forgot that the Torah says, Ishmael pere adam yado bakol v'yad kolbo. It's not going to help. There's only one thing will help. That we have to make peace with our Avinu Shebashamayim. We have to make peace with Hashem. How do you make peace with Hashem? More modesty, more Shabbos, more kashrut, and the most important thing, more kiruv. Most important, it's critical now. If every one of us will target one chiloni, one secular Jew, with smiles, with love, with attention, with articles, with CDs, 10% of us has to be successful, 1 out of 10. It's already 500,000 secular Jews that can get saved in a week. Nobody does. Nobody does. Everyone asks, you're speaking about the Holocaust. You're speaking, where was God in the Holocaust? Why did he put the rabbis in the gas chamber just like when he put the all these reforms and all these anti-religion people in the same camps? So where was the justice? I don't understand. People are not thinking before they ask their questions. One, the Torah says very clearly, if your brothers are secular, what we call in the Torah, Rishayim, they go against Hashem, and you could have done something to stop it, and you didn't, you are just as guilty as them. End of story. That's it. But I was Shomer Shabbos. But the Torah says, Ochiach tochiach et amitecha, velo tisa alav chet. Which means if you don't do it, you are guilty like him.
Of course, in the olam haba, Hashem pays you for all your zchuyot, for all your mitzvot. But now you come and say, I'm not guilty? The answer is no, you are guilty. We're all guilty. Not only the ones who got the missile in the terrace, and the ones who got wounded and got killed. We're all guilty. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu has his own reason why this one left the world today and the one another year later. There's other reasons. It's not that people went around and say, oh, you got your electric back, you're a tzaddik. He didn't get it, he's not a tzaddik. It's nonsense. It's shtuyot. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the opposite. Maybe someone who got it faster is rasha yoter. Why? HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays him in this world. And the other one has some little averos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu drag it another extra 3-4 days to clean him from all his averos for the last year. Could be the other way around. Looking at the people's situation and thinking what Hashem thinks about them reflects in their situation is total stupidity. Where was Yaakov Avinu? HaKadosh Baruch Hu loved him or not? He loved him. Why his daughter got raped? Why he had to run away from his brother? Why he worked for 20 years for a crook that took advantage on him? Had a miserable life. Even he complained. Even he, which was at such a level of emunah, stood in front of Paro and said, my days were horrible. Right? So what do we see here? Yosef, tzaddik or no? Hashem called him tzaddik. Do you want the life that Yosef had? Forget that he became a king age 30. Up to then, what life he had? Lost his family, sold him to be a slave. A very hard life. Avraham Avinu didn't have a hard life. He had to throw his son away from the house. He doesn't know what's with him. Where is he? It's not like today. You can search. You can Google him. Oh, my son became an executive. Great. He's doing well without me. You send him out of the house, you'll never see him ever again. Every hero in the Tanakh, if you really looked at his life, almost everyone had a miserable life. So what do you see? The opposite, exactly what the Torah says, Asher Yoav Hashem Yeyasro. Someone that Hashem loves is more strict with him. More strict with him. The problem that we have, again, everything I say, you don't have to agree with me. You can challenge, you can ask questions, you don't have to accept it, but I'm telling you things that according to my humble opinion are 100% the MS. We all busy with the external Avodat Hashem. We're very busy with the outside, with the chitzoniut, but there's hardly any pnimiut. Also, when we learn Torah, there is a difference between learn Torah or amal Torah. Learn Torah, Rabbi Yochanan say, you say Shema morning and evening, you yotze. You know, when you go in Ben Azmanim, you ask the Avrechim or the Bachurim, you ask them, what are you doing? You didn't learn a minute today. You didn't open the Gemara today. What's their answer? Rabbi Yochanan say, if you say Shema morning and evening, you yotze. All of a sudden, everyone became an expert. Why? That's a proof that he hates to learn Torah. He only does it because there's no other way. Or maybe he's not going to have a salary. What is he going to do? He's not a specialist. Since there's no job, I'll sit in a call and get $1,000 a month, whatever. But really, if he loves the Torah, he needs the salary, he needs ben azmanim, he cares about bichlal. What does he care what happened? You love the Torah, you cannot live without it. You don't love it, it's a burden. And this is what Hashem said, ki lo ti agata, Yaakov. You're not really worshipping me. You're not following me. Now, I wanted in the beginning when David asked me the subject for tonight, I wanted to give advice from Chazal for better life. Then I thought to myself, we got to be effective. The situation now is really more than critical. We got to touch the root canal that we have. When a person has a root canal, he doesn't worry if his teeth is white or not so white. Or right now he has a little problem with the gums. You have to take care of the serious problem that we have. Right now we need a total root canal in our nation. Total root canal. Before you realize this war that so far is under control can turn into a massive Middle East horrible war. Before you realize in a week from now an atomic bomb will explode somewhere. It's not a joke. You don't know, maybe Iran has an atomic bomb. Maybe the next thing they bomb some building by mistake, they'll kill 300 Palestinians, they go crazy, and who knows what can happen next. Plus, now they have missiles, serious missiles, not rockets. That can go almost everywhere in Israel. I said it in the lecture a month ago, 2 months ago. Every point in Israel is covered now, between Hezbollah and Hamas. from the south and from the north, there's not one block in Israel that cannot get a missile. Which means, soon they won't be able to get to Eretz Israel. No company will fly to Eretz Israel. Most of the flights, foreign flights, all got canceled. They're not going to take the risk of landing in Israel when missiles can get to Tel Aviv. So soon there's going to be one airline, El Al. 4 or 5 flights a day, all the Jews in the world will be forced to use them. There's not going to be a way to get to Israel. Why? No American or any European country will agree to fly to Israel. Here is a proof today. One missile fell in Tel Aviv, a minute after all the flights got canceled. You won't be able to do anything. They had a basketball game today in Israel. 11,000 people. It was very, very close to be canceled. Everyone is already in a stadium. They needed the authorization of the chief of the army in the area over there to sign that is responsible to allow the game. Another missile or two, that's it. No more games, no more committees, no more business, no more nothing. In a country like this, that anyway is not a rich country, who knows what can be next? No lands, no landing, no taking off. It's affecting every moment of our life. And it's definitely reflects into our life. If we think we are here, they are there, at least Baruch Hashem, I'm here in a quiet place, think again. You don't know what can happen. Remember, everything, every piece that supposedly we have here, even though it's all fake and illusion, it's a direct reaction of what's happening in the Holy Land. If the Jews will kill another few more Palestinians, you won't be able to walk on the streets with a yarmulke here. Look what happened in France. Look, in England, it's very, very dangerous to be a Jew there today. Very dangerous. In Turkey, I send a pair of tefillin to Istanbul, to one of my Baalei Tshuva, and I wanted to take advantage if I were already send the box to put some CDs. They're afraid. Afraid to get CDs about Judaism. No, maybe next thing, they'll start following me. They know through the thing, you know, that we're listening to some Torah and this. People are afraid. They're afraid to live, to live normal life, or any other thing. So far here, you're still alive, you still can function, you can still walk. Chas v'shalom, you know, just because the American government or Congress is pro-Israel for personal reasons, because it's good for the agenda, for the control in the Middle East, which I never understood why it's so important to them, really, the Middle East. But overall, that's really the reason that the government is pro-Israel. But the people in America are not pro-Israel. 60%, 50% of them are anti-Israel. Esav Sonel Yaakov, make a survey. They'll blame us for the economy here. They blame us for this. They blame us against them. They'll blame us automatically like the entire world did since the day we got the Torah. So what do we have to do? One conclusion. Be'emet, only one conclusion. Not Sgulot. Not Babot, not the Rebbe's, not the Bracha of the Rebbe. We have to start becoming Bnei Adam, human being. Which means I have to make peace with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I have to work on myself. I have to work on my Midot. I have to work on my Emunah. I have to work on my Limud Torah. Limud Torah. Being stubborn always costs more money later. Always. You think you got away with that right now? The next time will be much worse. The Rambam say the biggest punishment to the human being is ha'onesh ha'gadol biyoter la'adam shesogrim befanav et daltot ha'tshuva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu locked the gate of tshuva in his face. How does it happen? They give an example from Elisha ben Avuya that he heard an announcement in Shamayim. Everyone is welcome to do tshuva except him. You hear that Hashem announced that you are not welcome in his Olam Haba or to do tshuva, he left you no choice. It's not one of the Rebbe's told you lost your Olam Haba. Maybe you still have hope that he made a mistake. And still, the Gemara says what? That if he made tshuva, of course Hashem would take him. But why Hashem made him hear it? This is what the Rambam wrote. Because Hashem wanted to make his tshuva the hardest possible, the hardest. Why? Shana vepiresh kashe mikulam. You are already shifti bevet Hashem. You are already in bet Hashem. And you kicked it? Now you're going to beg for it. You sweat for it a lot on your own. No more siyata dishmaya. And this is how it works. And most of us don't understand how it works. First time when a person has a chance to do tshuva. He grew up in a kibbutz. He grew up in Russia. He had no idea what's going on. And one religious person approached him, or he saw a video, or he got a good book, or an article, or something happened. If he would take the first opportunity, he will have 100% siyata dishmaya. He did not. Next time, 2, 3, 5 years later, only 80% siyata dishmaya. Not next time, 60 and 40 and 20 until nothing, almost zero. Don't think, oh, there's time. האומר אכתב ואשוב, אכתב ואשוב, אין מספיקים בידו. Ah, next time I can make some averos, one day I'll make tshuva. אין מספיקים בידו. What does it mean? That you make so many sins that it's going to be no time left to turn the scale to the positive side. That's what it means, אין מספיקים בידו. The mitzvot that a person does, it's not מספיק, it's not enough. And there's a Gemara that back up what I said. The Gemara says, מעשה ברבי יוסי בר קיסמא, שנשבו שני ילדיו על ידי שר מגדולי רומי, בזמן חורבת בית שני. In the time of the destruction of the second temple, one of the biggest תנאים, רבי יוסי בר קיסמא, there's many miracles that happened with him in the Gemara, two of his children were captured by the minister of Rome. When רבי יוסי started to investigate where are those two kids, he found out where they are. He went to that minister, and he told him, I'm going to give you 100 money. I'm going to pay you 100 for you to release them. The minister refused. Rabbi Yossi went to cry to Hashem, started to pray to Hashem. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu hit that minister in a very strong stomach sickness. He cannot go to the bathroom, cannot eat, problems in his stomach. The advisors of this minister, Goyim, they told him, maybe it's because of the rabbi that begged you to release the sons. Look, they had sometimes more Yirat Shamayim than some of the ministers in our government. You tell the minister of the government, maybe Hashem is punish us because what we do to the Torah or what we did to the rabbi, they go crazy. If you just dare to say it. But the Goyim got the point. They told him, maybe it's because of the rabbi that begged for his children. And what did he do? If you say to some minister that hates the Torah, maybe it's because what we did to the religious people in yeshivot, first of all, he gets fired right away. And second, he probably will be more cruel to the religious people after that comment. But this guy, the minister of Romi, he said, okay, go call him. Call the rabbi. He accepted the musar. So they called the rabbi, and he says, okay, rabbi, where is the 100 that you wanted to give me? Guess what Rabbi Yossi answered him? What would you do in a case like this? Take 101, Gematria Michael, give me the boys, no? Before he changed his mind. Rabbi Yossi told him, I'm only paying you 50 now. 50. He said, no, no deal. He sent him out, kicked him out. Then the pain started again. Then he called him again. He said to him, okay, now I'm willing to accept my boys back without paying you anything. Now Rabbi Yossi is giving him conditions. He said, without. He said, get out of here. Send him again. Again the pain started. He called Rabbi Yossi and said, take him for free. Take them. Just take them. Rabbi Yossi said, no. You have to pay me 80 for the days they were working for you. And he paid him and released the boys, and he got cured. Why do I tell you this story? This is a message here from Hashem to us. Hashem said, in the beginning, one racket here, one racket there, no big deal. Flights as usual, people go to work, can still sit and learn Torah. Wake up, make tshuva. Now it's cheap. $1,000 damage, $5,000 damage. It's no big deal for a country. No. People are stubborn. Next time, could be millions of dollars damage, many casualties, but still not a tragedy. Nobody gets the point. What do you think is going to stay the same? It's called sha'ananut, sha'anan. You know what sha'anan means? Mezalzel. And doesn't pay attention, doesn't care. The Ramchal said, what's the difference between a loser to a great successful person? What's the difference? Only one thing. That a person that is successful is matzliach, ומעיין על החיים. מעיין means like with magnified glass. For every little detail around me, I pay attention. I'm not cold and indifferent for what's happening. It touched my feeling, it touched my emotion, it touched my attention. It makes me make adjustment to the situation. Not Rosh Bakir, like I say, head to the wall. It's changing according to the situation. Like for instance, I said now, here now in 2 days is the Arevim dinner. I say now, I'm not an expert in chinuch, far away from being an expert. But a little bit common sense I think I have, a little bit. I say to myself, how many years is going to take until the yeshivot, the great yeshivot that raising our children from first grade to eighth grade and then from eighth grade to 12th grade, will make the right adjustment to adjust the education system to the horrible spiritual situation in the world? You cannot continue with the same techniques that worked for 1900 years from the destruction of the temple until now. Why? The world was clean, people were modest, there was respect, there was more honesty, there's no azut panim like now, and they didn't have the internet and all these destruction things around us in every corner. Thinking the same thing that was working for us for 1900 years will continue to work, seeing hundreds or maybe thousands of kids that cannot find themselves in a system and they all become bums, and you have to find them some yeshiva and pay $25,000 a year that hoping they'll hold the boy over there, that Chas v'Shalom will not be a drug dealer on the street, and no one understands that the situation is failing? When are we going to wake up? When there's going to be 10% of the children left in yeshivot, and the rest will all be occupied by the internet and by the Facebook and what's happening in the world? And just screaming and make committees and this, allowed, not allowed, it doesn't help anybody. If you tell a person, I give you this mansion, there's one room you're not allowed in. First room he goes in is this. Doesn't care about the 30 rooms you gave him. You come, you tell the boy, you're not allowed, not allowed, not allowed. As soon as you walk around, he's alone with that, he's going to go in it. Unless if he's really in a shama of a malach, then you're lucky. That's not working. You have to teach why not allowed. You have to teach, you have to make them disgusted from this phony world. But you can't make them disgusted when you live in a Yiddishkeit and you admire the heroes of this phony world. You admire the successful business people. You admire basketball players. Then you come and tell them, hey, it's disgusting. You're talking about no modesty? Then our women are also not modest. $10,000 a week, $5,000 a week, up to here, long, this, that, all over, jewelry, hundreds of thousands of dollars, plastic surgeries, top-of-the-line clothing, and then she's a rebbitzin standing, running a yeshiva. What do you expect from the boy? Right away, one kid told me, listen, I tell you the truth, I already realized when I was a very young kid that my rebbe was saying one thing and everything he was saying, you're living and doing the opposite. Tell me this and this and that. Next thing I found him is interested in that. And that's why I got the point that it's all nonsense, but it's not true. He got the wrong impression because somebody gave him this impression. You preach. If a person comes and speaks against cigarette, he gives a seminar, horrible is cigarettes for help, and then you find him in a hallway in a break smoking, his entire speech is worthless. Better not to talk. If you come and speak against materialism, and you are addicted to material every year, a new car, new this, better you don't speak against it. You only make us look like a fool. You're speaking about unity, and you're the biggest racist. And your daughter wants to go on a shidduch with someone that is not from the same nationality like you, and you right away say, no, don't even offer us the shidduchim. Why are you speaking against unity? You're a racist, ma. You don't realize it. Can be a big rebbe, but still a racist. What do you think, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu give you a reward for your nice beard? I know I'm saying hard things here, but this is the time to wake up, to do tshuva. When are we going to wake up? When Chas v'Shalom we're going to have to hide in a sewer like they did in the Holocaust? 3 years to hide in a sewer and they take away everything that we have? What do you think is safe here in America? What did the Navi say? אפילו כספם וזהבם cannot save them. All the gold and the silver people will hide in a time of these days. There's a Navi. Isn't the Navi say it? Will not help at all. Will not help. Why? Because if the Jews, Chas v'Shalom, will lose their rights like happened in Germany, and don't live in illusion that it cannot happen again. It happened in Iran. After Germany, one day, Khomeini came, and the Iranians, multi-millionaire Iranian Jews, they own buildings and stores and real estate. They lost everything. Whatever they can smuggle out, they did. The rest, they took over. It happens in Poland. It happens in Germany. It happens all over Europe. It happens in Libya. Gaddafi stole all the money of all the Jews. The Jews ran to Italy from there. They lost everything they had. It will happen here one day when HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides. He has his calculation right now. But what happens when it happens? What do you think? If you have 100 pieces of gold hidden in the ground or money in Switzerland, or all, you're going to be able to use it? You come to a goy, you give him a piece of gold that's worth $50,000, he'll give you $500 for it. You know you're not in a position to argue. You need food. It's not realistic if people think they'll be able to secure their future with money they hide. What happened to all the diamond dealers, do you know? What happened to all the rich Jews in America? Maybe you're not aware of it. If you're very wealthy, you know what I'm talking about. Almost every one of them is under IRS investigation right now. It started with that Syrian trader that started to give people from his community, and you know, one day catch five leads to 50, and 50 leads to 500, because they all tie together. They begin to check who gives checks to who buys from who, supposedly money laundering. Then all the diamond dealers, they do a lot of cash deals. They hid their money in offshore banks, mainly in Switzerland. United States went to Switzerland. They forced them to give the names of all the people who have an account there. I went to Israel to open a bank account. In Israel, bank account to put 100 shekel there, just to have an account. The woman over there tell me you have to fill up an American IRS forms. They control the whole banking system in the world. Every place you want to open an account and you're an American citizen, you have to fill up an IRS form. As soon as the IRS found out you have an account offshore, you finished. They come, they begin to investigate you. That's what's happening right now. And Jews, they made a lot of money in the good days. They had to hide their money somewhere. The Goyim also does. But the Jews is in high percentage. It's a blessed nation, as the Torah says. You know, this is a blessed nation. What happened now? I went to Belgium. One of the diamond dealers said, don't ask what's happening there. Those who ran away from here on time ran away. The other ones, frozen accounts, this, investigation, problems. Same thing here. Same thing here. People in the jewelry district, all the people who made some cash money, they all have serious problems right now. Bottom line, nobody will be able to count on his money that he hid. No one. Only one thing we have to do. We have to be mamash like a magnet with HaKadosh Baruch Hu every second of our life. And if something bad happened, happen. At least I know I did everything I can. Reach my maximum potential. I gave my heart for Hashem. I gave my heart for the Torah. I gave my heart for Chesed. I gave my heart for Emunah and everything else that involved in being a Jew. And the rest, I know it's not in my hand. The rest, there's a boss to the world. He knows what to do. Whatever I get here, it comes from Chas v'Shalom, the punishment in the afterlife. One way or the other. But at least I know I did everything I can. I would like to finish. We're just reminding us one thing. Just because we are not soldiers with rifles in our hand doesn't mean we cannot fight. They fight with their hands and their legs, and we fight with our mouth. Hayadayim yedei Esav, hakol kol Yaakov. We can do more than the soldiers with Torah and Tehillim, especially now, Etzarai Yaakov. It's Etzarai Yaakov, and the Tzara just started. Chas v'Shalom, it can turn a lot worse. Before we will find out that it's much worse, you know, once it became worse, it's much harder to reverse it. It's better to do tshuva and to do tzedakah, tefillah, tshuva, ma'avirim et ro'a gzera. And if we're not going to do it now, when the time we wake up, maybe after Shabbat, we don't know, chas v'shalom, what can happen. First, if we love ourselves, we have to do it for ourselves, to save our own neshama. Then after you save your own neshama, you have to think about Klal Yisrael, not only yourself. It's not enough just to save yourself. It's a combination. Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh LaZeh. Every Jew makes an Avera in Japan. In Japan, we suffer here. It's all connected. And Bezrat Hashem, I'm telling you, you know, yeah, we're going into Shabbat now. I'm sure that by Sunday you forget everything I say. We'll put it on the internet if you want to refresh your memory. I mainly speak for myself. Chas v'shalom didn't come to give anyone musar here thinking, I'm here and you are there. Chas v'shalom. The opposite. Maybe you are here and I'm there. But you know, as I speak to myself, maybe another 20 Jews will hear it on the way. Maybe they'll do 5% more, 10% more. I got lucky. I became Mezaki Arabim, accidentally. And if not, maybe I'll wake up. And if not, what's the worst happen? We learn another hour Torah. It's also Divrei Torah, Musar, Bezrat Hashem. Thank you very much. Shabbat Shalom.